Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. Looking back at a 41-38 win for the Titans against the Texans yesterday, they wrap up the division for the first time since 2008. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I am delightful this morning. How are you guys?
We are delightful as well. And the Tennessee Titans, Corey, today, delightful also after a big win yesterday. They win the division for the first time since 2008. Corey, you've seen a lot of Titans football. You've seen a lot of ups, a lot of downs.
Yep.
What does a division title mean for this franchise, given how difficult it's been to come by in the last 12 years?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, they haven't grown on trees for this team. So, you know, despite being handed a playoff game before they took the field, you know, it was still an important game. And, you know, symbolically, because it's been a Texans-Colts division for a long time, you know, to punch through and take another one, you know, especially in a year where the Texans are extremely down and where, the Colts, you know, gave you every opportunity to do it by – you know, losing to the Jags week one and then completely imploding against the Steelers, if you couldn't seize the opportunity this year, it kind of felt like, you know, when are you going to do it? You know, you have to be able to win those things, and you certainly have to be able to beat bad teams, and the Titans struggled to do that yesterday.
So I want to run a few things by you, Corey, that we've been throwing around. One, greatest individual season in Titans history. I think that Henry and Tannehill both have a case. And then also, what about this offense and where you think it stands? I mean, obviously, it's not even the highest scoring offense in the league this year. In the end, the Bills go nuts at the end of the year. But in NFL history or even just recent history, how would you assess those things?
I mean, you look at what Henry did, and it's, you know, it's right there with Chris Johnson. And this offense is more balanced than the Chris Johnson offense. You know, that offense had Kerry Collins and a very pedestrian group of receivers outside of, I think Nate Washington was on that team, and Nate, you know, was capable of the big play. But the dominance of Henry was on point from week one, I think what was different this year. And different for Derek. And Derek was good at the beginning of last year, but the blocking was not. And, you know, so the running, you know, was strong from the get-go, which is how he got to 2,000 yards. And it was, it was what I expected in this game, because I knew the Texans' run defense was bad, and they didn't seem to have much interest in stopping him. It's hard for me to think of a more dominant start to finish of the season for an individual than Derek had this year. I'm just racking my brain, you know, for some other seasons, you know, that guys have had. You know, a defense, they've had some guys have some really good seasons, but nothing quite like this. I mean, what, 17 touchdowns? 2,027 yards. I think what, third player or fourth player in NFL history with three 200-yard games. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, Derek has his yards. And how many times did they run that read option where Tannehill just, where it went wherever he wanted to do? I mean, those are Derrick Henry yards. I mean, he doesn't get them, but, you know, when the whole defense goes to him, and they can do whatever they want, you know, he's responsible. So yeah, I can't imagine. And then, you know, Tannehill, yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about different eras, different styles of play. But, you know, certainly, you know, as far as his passing numbers and what he was able to do, you know, offensively, firepower-wise, the best that we've seen.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, it's pretty obvious when we watched A.J. Brown that he's obviously hurting with the ankle, and it seems like once a game he goes down and he gets up, he's hobbling off, limping off, and that happened again yesterday early in the game for the Titans. And then he just comes back and has a monster game. 10 catches, 151 yards. Obviously the huge play at the end to set up the game-winning field goal by Sam Sloman. And he's become the 11th wide receiver in NFL history to have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to begin his career. What has A.J. Brown shown you this year in year two, and particularly as of late, as he's been gutting through a pretty obvious ankle injury that's limited him to some capacity?
Well, I think what I was thinking about last night was how much he loves football and competition, because he has been hurting, and it would be easy for him to sit out and get healthy for the postseason, among other things. They had a playoff bid sewed up yesterday, and when he went down after that first catch, I thought, man, he might really be done today, because that didn't look great. And he just got stronger and stronger as the thing went on. And when they needed him the most, he was at his very best. And I'm not just talking about the catch at the very end. He was clutch late. I mean, Tannehill was going to him. And he was so strong with the football. And I think his strength and competitive nature are what really stood out to me in that football game.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, obviously the bomb, that'll be, I mean, that's a play that, you know, is going to be remembered for a long time, you know, situation like that. But
that might be
so
the
many
biggest play I've covered in 20 years for this team. I mean, I can't remember a more clutch big-time play than that one.
Just to clarify, then you did not cover the Music City Miracle?
No, I was not here for that.
Okay. That's a big statement, but I mean that's an incredible call and execution in that moment. You know, the AJ too. It's like he is like a running back too. Just give him the ball quickly and let him be a running back out there. Pretty impressive. Defensively, Corey, any hope? Did you see any hope yesterday moving forward for this team?
Well, you know, in the first half, when they held them to 9 points, I think they had 3 sacks in the first half. You know. They made some plays, but you know, I struggle because I don't know how interested the Texans truly looked in the first half. And I thought the Titans kind of left him in the game. That 3-play drive that made it from 31-15 to 31-21 was so pathetic that I almost couldn't believe what I was watching. It was like they thought the game was over and just stopped playing. I mean, they had 2 long runs from David Johnson and then the long touchdown pass. I mean, I think the word I used to describe it when I wrote about it was uncompetitive. There was no competition on those 3 plays. And to me, that's what gave the Texans life. You know, you had them down 16 points, 31-15, and it looked like, you know, they were on the ropes. This thing was just about over. And you let them go down and score, like, it's just 7-on-7 at the park. I mean, it was so easy. And then Derrick Henry fumbles the next play. And then 3 plays later, you offer no resistance. I mean, it's 3 plays and in after the turnover. And, you know, this is the guy who fumbled is the guy who has carried you. And you can't do anything to pick him up. You can't do anything to say, hey, we're only going to give up 3 points here. We're going to pick this guy up. I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible. So the only hope I can see is playing teams that can't throw the football.
Not a whole lot of those in the playoffs either. That's going to be really interesting as well. Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, last thing for you here. So what do you think of this matchup for the Titans against the Ravens? Obviously a team they've had success with in the last year, Can they do it for a third time in the past calendar year and beat the Ravens in this game?
Well, I know it's a matchup that scares a lot of people, and I guess it should, because the Ravens are a good team. They're well coached. They've got some good players, but I think it's the best possible matchup for them because it's the team that throws the ball the poorest. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean I don't think Lamar Jackson could throw it, because he can, but I think he only completed like 9 or 10 passes yesterday because they run the ball extremely, extremely well. That's what they do. And the Titans the last couple of weeks have not defended the run extremely, extremely well at all points. And so they're going to have to do that in this football game. But, you know, the key once again for them is going to be trying to get out front and playing from out front in this one. Now, they didn't do that in Baltimore. They came back in the second half in that football game. And it's just amazing the history of these franchises and how they trade off these home playoff games. And, you know, we trade off, man, this team's really going to be foaming at the mouth for the other one. Because, you know, you have to be thinking that, you know, the Titans have gone into their building 2 times in a row and beaten them. That, you know, not that you ever need motivation for a playoff game, but, you know, these matchups always seem to be personal. I expect this one to be personal, too. And the Titans are going to have to score a lot of points against a really good defense to win.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, thanks, guys. We should say 3 playoff trips in 4 years.
Yeah.
For a franchise that was terrible for a long time. And I always say that stuff rolls downhill, and so you have to point to the change at the top the day that Amy Adams Strunk and the rest of her family kicked out Tommy Smith and took over the franchise, and just what a change that has been, because it always starts at the top, and I think we always need to take time to remember that and truly recognize how the Titans got here.
Absolutely. Certainly a lot more fun to be a Titans fan now than it was 6, 7 years ago at this point. No question about it. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. When we come back, we'll continue to break down the game from yesterday. How did the Titans get to a point where they needed a last-second field goal to win against a 4-12 team? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Titans looking for their first AFC South title since 2008 for the chance to host next week. Hit the upright and bounce through.
Oh, you can't make it up. You can't make it up.
What a kick. What a dramatic ending yesterday to the Titans game against the Texans. They win 41-38, win the division for the first time since 2008. Sam Sloman, the man getting it done in the clutch yesterday. 5 of 5 on the extra points, 2 of 2 on the field goals, and Joe Rexrode, even though it got a little hairy on the one at the end, off the pole and in, he gets it done when it matters the most. The Titans escape with a victory, and Sam Sloman will now live in Titans folklore forever.
Sam Sloman, who Kevin Byard said yesterday, he saw him in the practice field last week. He thought maybe he was one of their scouts.
Amazing.
I would have thought maybe he could have been like one of the coach's teenage sons, you know, or something like that. But Sloman yesterday is like, he's like, yeah, I met most of the guys by Friday. It's just amazing. Most of, you know, COVID-19 pandemic is awful. But I mean, you're not going to have a story quite like this without it. So it makes for a memorable ending to the season. I tell you what, it's clutched it. You know, it's interesting with Sloman. I mean, he's 8 for 11 with the Rams, but he also has missed 3 PATs and they cut him. I mean, he won the job out of Miami, Ohio, and they cut him. So, he had been pretty good. And it's pretty clutch for the Titans to, you know, end up locating him. I mean, I don't know if Tucker McCann gets that done or Greg Joseph gets that done. So Sam Sloman, Titans legend.
There was a photo that the Titans Twitter account put out after the game where Sloman is sitting in a locker room with his mask on, I believe it's a division title hat on,
and he's getting
two thumbs up, and he looks anything but a kicker or an NFL football player. And I thought it was just a phenomenal photo.
Oh, it was amazing. It really was. And the reaction of not only him, but like Derrick Henry when the ball goes through the uprights, like it doesn't take an expert lip reader to figure out what Derrick Henry was saying on the sidelines. You can go see that clip on Twitter if you're curious about it. But Sam Sloman going from kicking the ball to putting both hands on his head to then running off and celebrating and the entire team mobbing him on the field was pretty incredible. That was maybe my favorite thing of the entire season.
Well, I'll give you I can give you the replay. He made it? Oh, bleep. There's Derrick Henry in the moment. Also, you know, so Sloman is in the, you know, he's doing the Zoom. And again, like, I mean, it's a little bit like I feel like I'm watching Bill and Ted Part 3. You know, listen to Sloman. So I hear this voice. So Taylor Lewan got on, and I missed this part. He jumped on the Zoom for Dennis Kelly.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize. I thought for a minute, I heard that he was on there, and I thought for a minute that that maybe Lewan had gone with them, you know, for some moral support. But he was. But there's a screaming. Sloman is in there with us, and it's all of a sudden it's just the screaming, and it's like, Sloman, you're a bleeping legend, Sloman, yeah. And it turns out it's Will Compton. Who apparently he and Lewan have morphed into the exact same voice while doing their podcast.
Apparently but so.
That was also a fun moment. Yeah. It's the first time, you know, it's so antiseptic. And this was one of those games yesterday where it's just like, you know, in normal times, would have been in Houston, the locker room, getting all these great quotes and little details about all this stuff. And you're just like, God, this stinks, you know? Like, it's just so bad from a coverage perspective relative to how it usually is, but you at least got a little bit of glimpses of that, you know, of the celebration. Oh, I actually have the quote here. Hey, you're a bleeping stud. You're a stud, Slow. You're a stud. That's a quote from Will Compton. So at least we got a little bit of glimpse of like human stuff here in the Zoom calls, because usually you get none of that.
And it was a huge moment for Sam Sloman yesterday. The best moment of his career, and he talked about it after the game. The game-winning kick to send the Titans to a division title. Here's what Sam Sloman had to say.
Well, yeah, the week, it was a little bit different this week. You know, I kind of usually practice a little bit separated from the team, but got to practice with the team this week, which was good, just to get around the guys and get some work in with Matt Overton. That was really nice to do. And I just prepped kind of like I was playing a game and, you know, getting ready to go. And then the last kick, it came off my foot and I knew it was good. So I was just, you know, super excited, super excited after they said it was good.
Look, he could say what he wants. I have visual evidence suggesting otherwise. He did not know it was good. He was nervous as crap. He was nervous as everybody else in the building when that ball went off the upright. But the reaction was great. And I'm very happy for Sam Sloan.
It was like a moment in time froze in Nashville for like 30 seconds between the ball hitting the upright and the ref signaling that it was good.
Nice job of like hamming it up by the refs too, of just nothing. They look at each other for what felt like an eternity. You see the head nod and then it's up and it's in. But I like the confidence there from Sam Sloman. I have visual evidence suggesting otherwise that he did not know it was good the whole time.
So Sloman's 10-13 this year in his rookie season. Would you rather have Sloman or Gostkowski someday?
How could you cut Sloman now? He's a Titans legend. It took him one game, Joe.
But I'm serious.
I know.
You wanted them to cut Gostkowski a few weeks ago.
Well, this goes back to the arguments that were always out there. Well, it could get worse if you don't have Gostkowski out there. Well, yeah, it could also get better, and now you have 2-for-2, 5-for-5. I'm not saying that I would rather have Sam Sloman going into a playoff game, because Gostkowski has played much better as of late. But this assertion that was out there with Gostkowski that it can't possibly get any better than him was ridiculous at the time. It's ridiculous now. And having said that, I'm still going Gostkowski.
Yeah, I mean, no one said it can't possibly get worse. It was just the question was, or you know, it can't possibly get better. It was just that it could get worse, which was totally true. I mean, if you're going to stand by that, then you got to pick Sloman right now. Very disappointed you're not picking Sloman.
Look, anytime you want to send Sam Sloman out on the field and I get a chance to watch him kick, I am here for it. You should put his name in the rafters at Nissan Stadium. To that point, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, hang his name and number up in the rafters of Nissan Stadium. Already a Titans legend. There was a lot of like a Gary Anderson vibe to it yesterday of big time moment, big time kick, and Sam Sloman gets it done. Maybe the two biggest kicks in Titans history, Sam Sloman and Gary Anderson.
We could put out another poll question. We really could. With the Sloman kick, the Gary Anderson kick, and also the Joe Nedney flop.
Yes.
And then
the Steelers
following it up with drilling the game-winning field goal against the Steelers in the playoffs. Could go with what was the more memorable field goal in Titans history.
Yeah.
I like good. It.
Working on it now.
You got tomorrow's if you want it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good poll question. But Sam Sloman, Titans legend, born yesterday. Now, it wasn't all rosy for the Titans yesterday. It got hairy towards the end. We talked about the defensive struggles with Corey Curtis and how Houston towards the end of that game was pretty much doing whatever they wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball. And there was a moment in the game where it's 4th and 11. The Titans, I believe, were on the 37-yard line at that point, and they decide to go for it. It ends up in disaster. Tannehill gets sacked on the play, and you thought, oh boy, here come the Texans. Here comes that offense with Deshaun Watson clicking on all cylinders. An interesting call yesterday from Mike Vrabel, or Joe Rexrode, on the 4th and 11, and obviously did not work out at all during that sequence, and really almost ended up in disaster on that play. Like, if Tannehill fumbles that ball, you're in huge trouble at that point.
Yeah, so I looked through Stillman's Twitter feed to prepare for this segment, and I found four instances of him screaming about this call. So I was a sacrificial lamb who asked Vrabel about it. You know, I was several questions in. And of course, everybody's like fawning and, hey, champions and all this stuff. And so it's coming to me. It's like, well, someone's got to ask about the 4th and 11. So I asked about it. And because it's an important play in the game and it's going to be second guess. But I'll be honest with you, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, we complained about Vrabel punting from the 32 in Green Bay last week.
Yeah.
And now you're going to complain about him going for it on from the 37. Here's one thing that's key. Sloman does not have that range. That's probably part of why the Rams cut him. You know, pregame, he was not hitting 50 yarders or plus 50. So from the 37, you're not going to go with him there. You probably would have sent Gostkowski out otherwise. You could punt. You know, it's 4th and 11. But honestly, like, at this point, if you're Mike Vrabel, do you trust your offense to pick up a 4th and 11? Or your defense to do anything good?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but to me that was – and I understand you could say, yeah, but you could pin him. And okay, great. So they take three more plays to score? I mean, I'm sorry, but that, like, that's the reality of this deal. So I honestly – I asked the question about it. I don't actually have a problem with it. I mean, I think I probably would have done the same thing. I think one problem with that play – I tried to ask about this too, but I think a thing you want to do there, because you expect them to blitz on 4th and 11, and they sure as heck did, you want to get set – and lined up, and then you want to hard count the hell out of them to try to get five more yards. And the Titans were slow getting it all together, and they really didn't have a chance to do that. It was low on the play clock, and they just had to snap it. I think that's because they were absolutely coming, and they did, and they buried him. But, man, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, look, this team right now, it's just like the last call. It's the same thing to me. Everybody, conventional wisdom is don't put yourself in harm's way where you could get a strip sack. All of a sudden, you just gave up the winning field goal. Kneel and take overtime. No, I don't trust my defense in overtime if we lose the coin toss. Whether Vrabel said that out loud or not, that was a call of, I trust my offense a million times more than I trust my defense. And if you're him, how could you not feel that way?
And, Joe, you mentioned the question you asked of Vrabel after the game about that 4th and 11 call. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say after the game.
And Mike, earlier in the 4th at the 37, was that go all the way? Was that Sam Sloman not quite having the distance there? And were you trying to hard count them and it didn't and ran out of time? Or what exactly happened in that play?
I'll have to go back and, you know, we didn't execute. And, you know, it was just out of, the wind, the roof being open was actually noticeably different, you know, with the wind. And I didn't think that that was, you know, in our kicker's range. And we'll try to have to do a better job, you know, executing in those situations.
So that was Mike Vrabel after the game. And, Joe, I agree. Like, obviously he's not going to say this, but to me that decision was, all right, you know, our defense, you could try to pin him in the 10 if you really want to, but this is exactly what's been going on with this defense. It really doesn't matter where the ball is on the field. They struggled all season long. Why not take your chances with your offense and go for it on 4th and 11? I didn't have a problem with the call either. It's one of those that's very easy to second guess after it ends up in a sack and Houston takes over the ball essentially at midfield at that point.
So, Jared, don't spend an hour on this today. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you're welcome to your opinion, but like acting like this is the biggest transgression in coaching history, I mean, it's just not. I mean, look, I'm picking my offense every time right now if I'm Mike Vrabel. I have no faith in my defense. You can say that you do, but you don't. And if you can't see how that would influence a decision like that, I don't. Again, how can we sit here? We are professional second guessers, but how can everybody sit here and whine about punting from the 32 and then whine about going from the 37? Like, you can't have it both ways. I beg of you, Jared.
I saw something.
I beg of you. Go ahead.
I saw something on Twitter last night. I forget who put this out, but they were saying that the win percentage for the Titans did not change at all after they missed the 4th and 11, which I do not believe.
It probably tells you all you need to know about the defense, though. Like, it doesn't really matter where the ball is going to be. The win percentage is just about the same.
Whether it's the 10-yard line, the 20-yard line, or the 37-yard line, the Texans are still going to go score.
And you know what else doesn't matter? What you try to do defensively to stop Derrick Henry. That was the case again yesterday. Houston tried, and they failed. Henry with a huge day, a huge season. Where does his season rank in terms of the all-time performances by a Tennessee Titan? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now you know who your daddy is.
Henry found a little room, found a lot of room, and here he goes. 20, 10, touchdown, Tennessee. 52 yards.
You answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy?
Here comes Derrick Henry.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, it doesn't get easier than that.
And whose team is this? Is this your team or is this your daddy's team?
Yours.
Mm-hmm. We understand the type of player he is, the impact that he has on this team, on the field and off it. I'm proud to coach him and this entire football team.
Go ahead and tell everybody.
Houston, we have a problem, and his name is Derrick Henry. He was all over the Texans yesterday. 34 carries, 250 yards, two touchdowns on the day, averaging 7.4 yards per carry on the ground against the Texans. And he breaks the 2,000-yard barrier. Needed 223 yards heading into the game. Finishes with 250. Brings his season total to 2,027 yards, 378 attempts, and 17 rushing touchdowns. Joe Rexroad, yesterday Derrick Henry was just dominant. And in terms of maybe the most dominant games we've ever seen him play, yesterday's game had to be right up there. And like you said, Joe, earlier in the show, they needed every last carry and every last yard out of Derrick Henry yesterday. And boy, did he come up big and deliver.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get those last 4 yards, you know, you're talking, I mean, if he gets three, you're talking about overtime and, you know, lose a toss and you're going to Buffalo this week. You know, I mean, they needed it all. His best game, dominant game. And again, I mean, it's funny after the game, like he's still mad and talking about the fumble he had, but he largely carried this team. I mean, you know, he and Tannehill both unbelievable. It's funny to listen to listen to Gumbel and different others like, oh my gosh, when they're watching him, you know, it's like, what the, oh, what are we looking at? I mean, he does things that are just, I mean, I think it's an interesting comparison because look, I understand like Chris Johnson was so much fun to watch and there's been other, you know, obviously Barry Sanders was electric. It's like two totally different positions when you compare him to a Derrick Henry, but it really is breathtaking to see him just get a little daylight and then take it through and pass and outrun corners to the end zone. And that contrast of just the power running that he now has embraced and has become so good at as well. I mean, it's just an incredible combination for him. The guy now, so he ends up this year with, according to Pro Football Reference, 972 yards after contact.
Jeez.
This year. 2,027 yards and almost 1,000 after contact. So it really is remarkable And he goes up, you know, he goes up from last year, 303 carries to 378 this year. Also goes up from 5.2 per carry to 5.4. And with, by the way, and we've talked about it earlier in the show, but or 5.1 to 5.4, with an offensive line that is on paper far inferior to what was blocking for him at the end of last year or for most of last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been incredible to watch. Derrick Henry finishes with 2,027 yards on the ground, and there have been a lot of impressive performances in a single season for the Titans in their history. You think back to Chris Johnson in 2009 with 2,006 yards on the ground, set the all-purpose yards record that year in the NFL. McNair obviously winning the co-MVP in 2003. Vince Young, his rookie season and how magical that was towards the end of it. You mentioned earlier in the show, Joe, Javon Kearse and just how special he was in his rookie season for the Titans, a big part of why they were able to get to the Super Bowl. Does Derrick Henry's performance this year rank at the top of the list in terms of single-season performances with the Titans? That's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Derrick Henry leading the way right now with 61% of the vote. McNair's co-MVP season in 2003 with 26%. CJ2K in 2009 with 12%. And then other just at 1% so far. So Derrick Henry, a pretty massive lead in this competition with 61% of the vote.
I mean, are we getting some Tannehill write-ins after Porth disrespected him by not having his poll? I want some Tannehill write-ins here. Like, it's hard to put Tannehill ahead of Henry this year because, obviously, Henry goes 2027. What are you going to say, right?
Right.
But, like, it's still the most important position on the field. And you're talking about ridiculous numbers that have not been achieved when you look at the entirety of them. You're talking about clutch moments. I mean, again, look at last night. You know, the 19-play drive. How many of those plays were Tannehill on third down having to come up with a throw and making it? Not to mention the A.J. Brown bomb late. He's going to get penalized. He will always get penalized for being with Derrick Henry. But both of those guys, it's a relationship that neither should get penalized for. You know, to me, you know, it's a balance that, and that's where if you want to talk about this Titans offense, I would like to know, like, really, just straight up, how many running back quarterback combinations have been could compare to what those two guys did this year?
The list is short, I can tell you that. I mean, you'd have to comb through NFL history, but there's not a lot. Ryan Porth, another example of Joe Rexroad taking a shot at your poll there.
You know what, Joe? Just cry me a river. Cry me a river. If you want Tannehill in the poll question, then
write him
create
in yourself.
Your own. Create your own question. And include Tannehill in there and see how Tannehill does in that poll question. No disrespect.
I do know how to create a poll now.
Yes.
So. You're really making strides on Twitter. You can now do an advanced search. You can now create a poll question. Have you figured out how you can share GIFs on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't really like GIFs, so I'm good there.
Wow.
I mean, I like sometimes they're funny, but I just don't want to be GIF guy, yep. You know? Like, I'm busy enough. I don't want to be searching for GIFs all the time.
You don't want to be Darren McFarlane?
He's too good to be the GIF guy.
McFarlane's a big GIF guy.
Oh, big time. Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're funny. Sometimes they make me laugh, but it's like, you know what? I just don't have time. Sometimes you gotta prioritize things, right? And now that I've got the polls figured out, yes, maybe I will put out my own poll. And Ryan Tannehill will be included, because if Ryan Tannehill has had what I say is the greatest quarterback season in Titans history, then why would that not be included?
Hey, you can include it if you want to. I'm just saying
there's
right now,
an other option.
Yeah, there's
Joe.
An option on the poll.
It says list below.
So if you want Tannehill, it's right there for you
I'm
to do
going
it.
Going there right now.
You should do it right now. Yeah. I mean, you
I will.
Take some responsibility here and just take the charge, Joe. We put that to you now. I will say it is interesting. Like, I if you had to answer that question, I'm going with Derrick Henry having the best year we've ever seen out of a Titan. But the crazy part is he could have been better. Like, you think of it, he's 78 yards away from Eric Dickerson's record of 2105. And you think back to the Cincinnati game. The Buffalo game, with, like you mentioned earlier, where the field was shorter in that game. You didn't have to go on these long extended drives where Derrick Henry can just be so lethal in that situation. The Cleveland game, where your defense is just getting absolutely shelled in the first half and you're essentially taken out of it in the second half if you're Derrick Henry. Like, think about how many times this year that more yards were left on the table for Derrick Henry. He could have absolutely obliterated Eric Dickerson's record this year, which is pretty incredible to think about given today's NFL and how much of almost an afterthought the running game has become at times.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, if you're gonna go through that, I will point to the Lions and yesterday, those games as games that the Titans should have put away earlier. And if they did, maybe he doesn't have – I mean, let's face it. Like, if they got a two-touchdown lead yesterday, and he's approaching 200 anyway. But, you know, if they don't have this comeback from the Texans, then, you know, that's some extra yards he got because of bad defense. The Lions game, because of bad defense, letting them hang around longer than they should have, he got more carries. But still, the games you mentioned, you still go through those and think about what he could have done. I mean, the Cincy game, my goodness, you know, that was such a bad performance defensively. And, you know, you have the one pick by Tannehill early. That game, they had no hope of stopping him, but the Titans had to take him off the field. The Browns game is totally – I mean, if he played the Browns again and they had a normal game, you know, he's getting 100-plus yards against that team. In that game, he only gets 15 carries. So, yeah, if you go through and add it all up, I agree. I mean, I think he's the all-time record holder. So it would have been – it's already a season that's never going to be forgotten, you know, but could have been the season for a running back.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Let's get your reaction to the question at hand. Was this the greatest season we have ever seen from a Tennessee Titan with Derrick Henry finishing at 2,027 yards rushing? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You've got a chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. I'll be teasing a key word at the end of this segment that you can text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Text in that keyword and you'll be entered for a chance to win the jersey and the video game EA Sports NHL 21. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January 14th, so make sure that you're tuning in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We're talking about Derrick Henry, the monster season he had. He caps it off yesterday with a 250-yard performance on the ground, ends up with 2,027 yards on the season. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, conspiracy theory. Did the Titans allow the Texans to stay around in the game so they could run Henry to get to over 2,000 yards? Joe Rexroad, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say there was no conspiracy theory involved. I'm going to say the defense is just that bad.
Yeah, I mean that'd be an interesting – I guess that'd be a question to ask, like, if they hadn't been terrible all year on D, you know?
Right.
I mean, like, if this just came out of nowhere, and even then it's like, well, Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson. But no, that's not it. Titans definitely are not trying to suck on defense.
They are not. And we got the question earlier in the show, is Derrick Henry building a case for the Hall of Fame? And I think we would all agree that it's too early for that discussion at this point. There's still a longevity factor that's involved in it. You've got to hit some certain benchmarks as a running back to really, I think, thrust yourself into that discussion. But I don't think, as you kind of try to forecast Derrick Henry's career, that is out of the question. Like, you start to look at some of the names that he's in the company with, on the accomplishments that he's rolling off here on seemingly a game-by-game basis at this point. And if he can stay healthy, which he's done a very good job of so far in his career, I see no reason to believe that his production is slowing down anytime soon. Now, is he going to go out and rush for 2,000 yards every season? Obviously not. But if you have another season or two where you're close to this level at Derrick Henry, and then you follow it up with a few more, hovering around 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood, all of a sudden, you start to get to some of those numbers pretty quickly, and Hall of Fame absolutely could be a part of Derrick Henry's future.
Yeah, yesterday on the all-time list, he passed guys like Deuce Staley, James Stewart. He is now actually tied with Steve Van Buren, a legendary Eagle, in 100th place on the all-time rushing list, is according to Pro Football Reference. And of course, this is regular season numbers. Next year he will. Next year, if he has the year you think he'll have, let's say just like a, you know, let's just say keep it down to like 1,200. You know, next year the chance he passes DeMarco Murray, for example. And the amazing thing about this is also when you look at his career. I mean, again, the fact that he was a backup for those first 2 years and then really not the starter until well into really the end of his third year.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years now, two calendar years and a month, okay, that this Derrick Henry is the Derrick Henry who's been carrying the ball. And still, he's where he is, which is with 5,860 yards. If the rest of his contract, he can do like 1,500 a year, which, I mean, hey, that's asking a lot. But if that's the case, you know, then you're talking about into the 10,000s. And obviously Eddie George is 28. There's your reference point. Eddie George not in the Hall of Fame, 10,441 yards. I mean, you've got to get into that territory. And then also you have to have postseason success, which Derrick Henry already has a lot of it. But can you get to a Super Bowl? Can you win a Super Bowl? That's another thing too. You know, like you talk about the Hall of Fame. I mean, being one of the guys who's had 2,000, that's going to help him.
Yeah.
The back-to-back rushing titles, that's going to help him. He has a lot of things that are lining up for him. But it comes down to being healthy and durable. Right now, I think he's going to be one of those guys who has a much longer than normal running back career in this league, but you don't know that for sure, obviously.
Yeah, and you can never know it for sure, but everything about his career, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, really suggests that Derrick Henry is just different. I mean, he's just built different. And it's amazing to think about, Joe, the conversation that we had a lot in the offseason about whether or not the Titans should commit to him long term. I get it. It's the running back position, and we've seen countless examples lately of that just not working out in the NFL. But your point all along was this guy is just different. I mean, you even called him in one of your articles, let's just call him offensive weapon, Derrick Henry, if the running back stigma means that much to you. And I'd be interested now, like if you took a poll of maybe those who were vocal about Derrick Henry over the offseason and how the Titans shouldn't commit that much money to a running back, I would be interested to see what their tune is right now based on he just rushed for 2,000 yards. He seems to have no signs of slowing down. You're talking about 378 carries, and he still somehow is getting stronger as the season goes on. It's getting harder and harder, I think, to second-guess the Titans' decision to sign him to that deal.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up. There's some people that need to be dunked on here, right? I mean, we could have done this at any point in the year, but at this point, like seriously, hey, here's one where Jared was right. So good job, Jared. Jared, let the big dog eat. Always been a big Derrick Henry. Now, he thinks that he got misused and it was really on Derrick Henry, but he was right about that. I mean, Buck, I mean, how many people out here are like, oh, you can't pay him? Like, what are you looking at? I mean, it's just because there's trends in the NFL doesn't mean that you just have to fall in line with that. Watch the guy play. Watch the guy never get hurt, you know? Watch what he does for your team. So, look, it ends up being, again, like, if Derrick had played on the tag this year, we'd be talking about that a lot too, you know? Like, what's going to happen? They're going to sign him now? Now they have to – I mean, don't you have to sign him for more now? You know, they're going to tag him again? They end up getting a team-friendly deal, and he agreed to it in part, you know, the pandemic and everything. I mean, it worked out really well for the Titans, but it's a good thing that they got that done rather than have him on a tag this year and then who knows what happens from there.
Andrew Filippone is a radio host in Pittsburgh, and this tweet resurfaced yesterday into my feed, and I shared it on the 102.5 The Game Twitter account. And this tweet was from July 15th, back on the day that Derrick Henry signed that contract. And Andrew Filippone tweeted out, quote, "Kudos, Titans. Job well done. Overpay average quarterback. Overpay running back. Worst uniform logo combination in the NFL. AFC runner-up to last place in 2020. Steelers fans, don't worry. Tennessee isn't a threat.
That's aging well.
Wow.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff in that tweet.
What about the unnecessary shot at the Titans?
Way to dunk on him.
My goodness. Yeah, I mean, look, I guess
I mean, like,
if you're really a pessimist about it, and Derrick Henry goes out next year and slows down some, and by year three of this deal is just not anywhere close to the same player, then maybe you can justify your viewpoint at that point. But like, I just don't see any signs right now of Derrick Henry slowing down. I mean, he just looks like he's going to continue to be at this elite level for the next couple of years.
Right, and it's just, you know, it's just not the same thing as other situations with other running backs. Obviously, we've seen some other running backs get paid. We've seen McCaffrey, we've seen Kamara. That's the other thing with Derrick Henry is, okay, if you do pay a running back, then he's got to be, you know, 70 catches in your offense. Well, not necessarily. This offense works pretty well. This offense, in terms of balance, is one of the greatest offenses in NFL history. Maybe not overall production, but in terms of really having balance and being excellent in both aspects of an offense, this is really an amazing group and doesn't happen without having the guy who is the best runner of the football in the NFL. So, yeah, we got to find some more people. I'm sure there's some other real sweet takes from the summer from when he signed. I mean, I remember some of them, and I was just like, all right, man, I don't know. Don't want to tell you.
Maybe we'll collect a few and make a segment out of it later this week. There was a lot to choose from in terms of people being very vocal about Derrick Henry not getting a deal, or especially when they signed. I remember when they signed Tannehill and just the reaction on Twitter of them paying Tannehill, and at that point they hadn't paid Derrick Henry yet. And everybody's like, why are you paying Tannehill this much money? And you're going to sit here and why you're going to give Derrick Henry a long-term deal too? Seems like it's working out okay for the Titans up until this point. And to your point about the offense as a whole, like, you know, you look at the numbers and like you said, I don't know exactly where it fits in terms of offenses in NFL history, but in terms of balance, Tannehill finishes 33 touchdowns, 7 picks on the year, 3,800 yards, 65.5% completion percentage. Derrick Henry running wild all season long. We've talked about maybe even more yards being left on the table for him. I mean, this offense, they can just do so many different things. And I think the point that you brought up earlier in the show needs to be emphasized time and time again. Everybody wants to always just kind of like, okay, you know, Tannehill, he couldn't do it without Derrick Henry. Maybe Derrick Henry couldn't do it without Ryan Tannehill and operate at this same level. It's a perfect marriage. I mean, that's what it is. And that's what it's been from the day that Ryan Tannehill set foot on the field as a starting quarterback. He just fits into this system extremely well. And Derrick Henry has benefited from that. Tannehill has benefited from Derrick Henry. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with two of your best players on offense benefiting from each other. I think sometimes people view that as a negative and want to take credit away from both of those guys because of what the other guy is doing. And I just think if you're a Titans fan, if you want to, if national people want to sit there and talk about that all day long, sure, be my guest. Just watch this Titans offense continue to be productive heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting how some great players have not been penalized for having other great players with them, and some do. And Tannehill's a guy that people really want to penalize. You know, and again, I think that goes back to Miami largely as well. People don't believe that he could be this good. But look at Derrick Henry's numbers. Last year when he was the full-time guy, he had figured it out.
Yep.
He was Derrick Henry. And look at them and then compare those numbers to – with Tannehill. I mean, you can't possibly tell me that there's not a benefit going the other way too.
So what did Ryan Tannehill prove in the game yesterday as the Titans are about to head into the playoffs? We'll discuss that when we come back, but I said it earlier in the segment. We've got a keyword of the day for you on our text line at 615-737-1025. The keyword for today is hockey. Text it in now to the game line at 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Tune in tomorrow at 8:45 for the next keyword, and the winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. Also, make sure you're tuning in every Preds game day morning at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, also brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So a lot of cool things coming your way with the Nashville Predators as well. When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.